time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Sunday mornings are always busy this half hour of the show. So from gardening to local history, Gordon Goldsborough joins us now with Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Remind us of the clue from last week.
I said we were going to visit an abandoned site near Lac du Bonny that for over 18 years hosted important scientific research a quarter of a mile below ground. And what I was referring to was something called the URL, the Underground Research Laboratory, that was operated by AECL between 1985 and 2003.
What is AECL? It sounds all very James Bond to me.
Well, it does sound somewhat that way. It's an acronym that stands for Atomic Energy of Canada Limited. It's a crown corporation that was founded by the federal government in 1952, the purpose of which was to develop peaceful uses of nuclear energy. Of course, coming off the Second World War, you know, the use of nuclear weapons, of course, it led to an appreciation for the importance of nuclear energy. And so this was a way of developing it in Canada. So AECL started in the 1960s to build nuclear power plants, nuclear-powered ones, and built over the course of time 22 of them based on a very unique design pioneered here in Canada called CANDU that used something called deuterium or heavy water to generate electricity. And of those 22 power plants, 20 of them are in Ontario. Of course, that means the predominance of interest in atomic energy is in Ontario, and that'll factor into our story a little later. Now, of course, a byproduct of these nuclear power plants is the spent nuclear fuel, which by the time it's finished is still somewhat radioactive, and therefore it requires long-term safe storage. Well, initially it's stored in the nuclear power plants themselves in large pools of water. That's where the initial degradation of the fuel takes place. And then eventually the plan is to transfer these spent fuels to underground storage where it'll reside for probably several centuries until it's reached the point of sort of relative safety.
So there are no nuclear plants in Manitoba?
No, no, there never has been. There was, however, a nuclear sort of plant that was sort of for testing purposes, sort of an experimental sort of research reactor. And it was at a facility called the Whiteshell Nuclear Research Establishment, or WNRE. It was established in 1960 by the AECL, and the idea was to research the disposal of these spent nuclear fuels. The idea was that at Pinawa in eastern Manitoba, it sits atop the Canadian Shield. And of course, the rock of the Canadian Shield is predominantly granite, which is an extremely hard, strong rock. It's also exceptionally old, you know, billions of years old. It hasn't really moved an awful lot. And that's ideal conditions for the storage of radioactive material because it isn't going to shift and possibly cause leakage. And so the idea was that they established this facility to sort of study the peaceful uses of radioactivity, but more specifically for our story today, they wanted to investigate the storage of this spent fuel underground, and particularly in two areas. They wanted to understand the effects of groundwater flow through this rock, because even though the granite of the Canadian Shield is fairly solid, it does have fractures in it, and the worry is that water can flow through these fractures and it might cause contaminants to be moved around, and that was a bit of a problem. The second is that they wanted to test the suitability of a rock sealing mechanism that used clay sandwiched between layers of high-strength concrete. The idea was once they had filled up a storage facility, they would cap it with one of these strong seals, and they wanted to make sure that these seals would never leak. And of course, the idea is to prevent the radioactivity from being released. So that was the objective of this underground research laboratory, was to study how you could carry out this kind of work.
And this laboratory was located at Pinawa?
Well, certainly the research facility itself was at Pinawa, but no. The underground research laboratory was actually located about 8.5 miles due east of Lac du Bonny and about 7 miles north of the WNRE facility itself. It was selected in 1980. They had a number of sites that were investigated. This turned out to be the best one, mainly because it had relatively uniform granite. In other words, it wasn't highly broken, and that was thought to be an ideal example of the sort of things that they would use for long-term storage of radioactive material. Now, I want to emphasize, this site was never used to store radioactive material. There is no radioactivity there other than just what's there naturally. It was merely used for the testing of these two big questions about groundwater flow, rock movement, and any other issues that might arise that would affect the suitability of the of similar areas to this one.
When was the lab built?
Construction began in 1982, and the initial step was to build several sort of support buildings on above ground. So there's, well, I can't tell exactly how many there were based on the photos I've seen, at least a half a dozen buildings that were on the surface of the ground. And then they started boring down into the ground. They were going to create this laboratory underground. So they drilled down through this hard granite rock, a big shaft 10 to 12 feet in diameter, and they drilled it down to a level of about 100 meters or about 300 feet. And then they went down still further and they created sort of two horizontal areas. One they called the 240 level, meaning 240 meters below ground or 800 feet below ground. And the other one was what they called the 420 level at 420 meters below ground or 1,300 feet. And the idea was these were the two levels. They would have horizontal shafts that went out hundreds of meters or hundreds of feet in either direction. And these would where they would do the measurements of groundwater flow and so on. What they discovered, for example, is that the groundwater chemistry changed rather remarkably as you went down. Near the surface of this shaft, it was fairly fresh water. By the time you got down to the bottom of the shaft, it was three times the saltiness of seawater. So there was a very definite change. And that was good because it meant they could investigate the potential for mixing of these two through these fractures that they worried about might be conduits for the movement of radioactive material.
What's the current status of the nuclear facility at Pinawa?
Well, they started doing experiments in 1990, and they had about 50 people working there. It cost about $3 million a year to operate the facility. Most of the money to operate the underground research laboratory was provided, in fact, by Ontario Hydro. You know, and you might say, well, why would they be involved? Well, because they operated all those nuclear power plants. They were going to have to deal with issues like the storage of the spent fuel. And so it made sense that they would support the research into how to store it safely. And they, over the course of time, they spent millions of dollars. Well, in fact, I didn't mention before, they had actually spent $40 million constructing the laboratory and then $3 million a year to actually maintain it. So it was quite a costly undertaking. But of course, we are talking about abandonment in this series. That's the whole premise. So, yes, in fact, the facility is now abandoned. So, for example, in 1994, AECL announced that they were going to close the WNRE at Pinawa and turn over operating control of the underground research laboratory directly to Ontario Hydro. Ontario Hydro was going to run it. Well, they only ran it for a few years, and then finally, in June of 2003, they decided to close the underground research laboratory. They tried to find someone else who was interested in doing this kind of research, but as you might imagine, this is pretty specialized stuff. There's not a lot of people around the world that probably want to do this kind of research, so they weren't able to find anybody. So ultimately, that's when things shut down, was in 2003.
How was the URL decommissioned?
They removed the above ground buildings. So all of those buildings that were on the surface that you could see, they're all gone. The underground shaft is still there. They didn't fill it in or anything like that, but they did remove most of the instrumentation. They removed pipes and cables and lights. They began that decommissioning process in 2006, and by 2010, it was basically done, although there were still things left behind. So, for example, on these horizontal levels, up at 240 and down at 420, they had a narrow gauge railway that they used to move material and people around. They just left it behind. They did leave behind an experiment, too. The idea of this clay with concrete, they wanted to continue testing that, so they left that behind, and they're continuing to monitor that long-term because, of course, ultimately the idea is they want this thing to last centuries, so they wouldn't determine if it's going to last centuries by only monitoring it for a few years. So it's a long-term monitoring. But otherwise, if you go to the site today, all you can really tell is that there was something there. There's a big open area where there are no trees. The trees were all cut down. There's sort of evidence that there were buildings there at one time. You can't, of course, not have a large facility without having some kind of visible signs, but not very much left. But it is a useful reminder, of course, of the fact that, you know, the challenges of nuclear power generation in Canada are that they do produce this long-term problem of how do you get rid of the radioactive waste. And it's kind of ironic in a way that we in Manitoba have this facility here, even though we get none of our electricity from nuclear power and probably never will.
Which is probably a good thing. Gordon, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Nadia.
And we're shaking things up for next week's Abandoned Manitoba. It's going to be a little bit different. What's going on?
Inevitably, when you talk about abandoned places, you know, there's bound to be changes. And so we've been doing this series, of course, for almost 4 years. And I thought it might be time to just talk about some of the places we visited in the past and how they may have updated it since that time.
All right. Look forward to it. Thanks, Gordon.
See you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.